And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. Here he is, Michael Savage.
Mark, seriously, great article, How America Becomes Zimbabwe. You have a remarkable background. To me, of course, the most interesting is you flew the Phantoms while in the U.S. Marine Corps.
I did, yes.
Which is pretty impressive to me. I mean, that's a beautiful thing to see. So you flew the fighter jet of your childhood dreams, the venerable F-4 Phantom II, which the Israelis used to great advantage in their wars, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Japanese flew. They just the Japanese have been flying them for years. They just started retiring them last year.
Savage. Michael Savage, a host like no other.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
So, Mr. Hewitt, you are a military pilot, aviation executive, college professor. You have many life experiences. You know war, you know peace. You went to the Naval War College. You see us becoming like ex-Rhodesia, Zimbabwe?
Well, I kind of do. I see that what the left has done, and they've been putting people in positions of authority to change the policies of the country that is more in line with what happened in Zimbabwe.
I don't disagree with you. This is the frightening part. I have very intelligent friends who have the same fears and vision that you do, meaning you see judges that are absolutely incompetent, who've been put into federal judgeships, incapable literally of, I would say, holding even a modicum of a class in fundamental constitutional law, and they're making decisions that are astounding.
Like they don't even know what a woman is.
That's right. Well, that's a tough one to figure out. You give them a break, Mark. You wrote for American Thinker, which, by the way, is owned by my friend Thomas Lifson, How America Becomes Zimbabwe. And for years, I kept warning about the dangers of Zimbabwe. I joked about it for 15 years, but it wasn't a joke. And here's a quote from you, Mr. Hewitt. Here in the first world, racists are embracing the Zimbabwe model and are openly advocating for white genocide. That it's time to kill everything white in sight. Who is saying that?
From my article, I added these college professors that are advocating for white genocide. It's time to kill everything in white. They're going to exterminate. What we need to do is exterminate the white people. That's Kenu Kambone. They're out there.
Okay, so the crazies are saying like that,
right?
But it's not yet injected into the bloodstream of the Democrat Party, is it?
Well, I think what has happened is that, you know, those guys don't have any. They don't have any power to change policy. And I was especially concerned with the the candidate for chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General.
Oh boy, who the heck?
CQ Brown.
Where'd they get him from?
I have no idea.
Was he a pilot?
Yes, sir. He flew F-16s.
How could a man, and he's an African American, correct?
Yes.
How could a man of any race who achieved such a high degree of capabilities to fly an F-16, how could he have such views? How is it possible?
Dr. Savage, I spent a lot of time in Africa. We ran the airport in Monrovia, Liberia, did work in Abuja and Lagos, Nigeria, and Luanda, Angola, communist Luanda, Angola, all revolving around, you know, rehabilitating their airports or their aircraft. The one thing I noticed is that, you know, you would have people like President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, president of Liberia. You know, she loved me, told my big boss at Lockheed, you know, I wish I could adopt Mark, because he knows what we need. But on the other hand, I would have guys that like the air attaché in Nigeria, who the Nigerian embassy in the U.S., who just was infuriated with me, knew I was white, and all I needed to do was to give him parts that were controlled by U.S. ITAR regulations, and so that's not how it works. And you just have people that fly under the radar until they get to a point where they are able to
So this man, this F-16 pilot, who Biden wants to make chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is one of those, is what you're suggesting, correct?
He has a track record, yes, sir.
Okay, so he hates white people. Now, has he been appointed, approved by the Republicans, rubber stamped him?
His confirmation, I don't know if he's been in Congress yet, but I think Senator Tuberville is also holding up his confirmation.
But Tuberville
along
is
with
doing
several
it. But Tuberville's not Tuberville. Is only talking about abortion regulations, not about the racism of these people who are popping up like mushrooms after the rain all of a sudden under Biden, thinking it's safe finally to say kill the white people. It's very dangerous, the Zimbabwe model, as you write.
Yes.
And they want to put a black racist in charge of the Joint Chiefs of Staff because we need more diversity, more inclusion, more equity. I mean, IE, which means die to me, because I've written years ago. I mean, Mark, I wrote years ago that without quality, we cannot have equality. Of course, it fell on deaf ears.
Right.
So General Brown is frustrated that there are too many white men in DOD. That's nice.
Right. He wants to reduce the number of white men in the Pentagon from whatever it is, 76%. Down to like 47%.
And that's going to make it a better Defense Department if they're more blacks? is it more blacks, or is it more gays, lesbians, Hispanics, Asians? What does he want to replace the whites with?
That has not been determined. It's just that white men are being targeted.
I see. White is no good. White is a blight.
Right.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Now, you say a program that should take 3 years or 2 years is now taking the Brits up to 8 years. Why is
that? Oh, yes.
Why is that?
Well, part of the problem is that if you just throw regular people into the mix of flight school, they will not succeed. You know about the Tuskegee Airmen?
Yes.
The majority of those men were college graduates, had an aptitude for flying. They were motivated to serve, and they were put into a program where the U.S. Army Air Corps knew how to make pilots, and
nothing to do with race. In other words, these were highly qualified men who happened to be African American.
That's exactly right.
So their qualifications preceded their race. In this case, we now have overt racists who want race to trump qualifications.
That's exactly right.
Well,
and we did the same thing with women going into the cockpits in the late 70s and early 80s. But what the Navy did was they hired women whose father were airline pilots who had airplanes, and they were pilots, or they were corporate pilots, or they were regional pilots, or they were instructor pilots. And the Navy hired all these competent, accomplished women on their qualifications and put them into the program, knowing that, you know, there's such things as glass ceilings. But it's going to be hard to eliminate women who have more flight time, instructor time, than their instructors. And that is what is happening. The left never tells the story accurately on how, like, Tuskegee Airmen came around, or, you know, women cockpit.
Yeah, well, no, that's just new. I had a neighbor who was a flyer in the Tuskegee when I lived in a town here in Marin County. Archie Williams, he lived above me. He and I talked many, many times. Highly educated man. Now, what you're saying is his qualifications preceded his flying.
Yes.
I'm not surprised, I mean, having gotten to know the man, but I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. But now you say the reverse is true. Race trumps everything, correct?
Right now, with the Democrats in power, it's not just race. It's there's other groups of people that have been allowed entry into the DOD that prior to 1994 would have never been even considered.
You mean like the Bud Light woman, a person?
Exactly, sir. In 1994, Don't Ask, Don't Tell became law. What that was supposed to do, the way it was marketed, was homosexuals could openly serve in the military as long as they didn't tell anybody.
Well, and now you have, not now allowed, of course, they can only serve if they tell everybody and teach our young children that it's the healthiest right. lifestyle on earth. I'm being sarcastic. The only way I can deal with this madness is to get more sarcastic than I'm originally made by God. But it's not a laughing matter. We all see it. Those of us who see the tidal wave coming understand that there's a tidal wave coming, and we don't want to just run out of the water to high ground. But we can't stop a tidal wave. And my feeling, Mark, is that this tidal wave is already here, and there's almost no stopping it. What do you think?
I do believe that it's here, but I do know that there have been policies put in place that have enabled these things to happen. In order to reverse it, you would have to have somebody that is courageous enough to reverse those policies.
I'm sorry, Moses is taken.
Yeah. But Donald Trump tried to do that when he came in. You know, he hired General Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis, to reverse Obama's policy of transgenders.
How did that work out?
Yeah, well, we found out that General Mattis was not the Republican everybody thought he was.
No, they all become politicians once they get into a position of power. Yeah. And I mean, I could steer us now to talk about the insanity of Ukraine, but we don't need to go there. I think it's well known that this is a cash cow and a total insanity. The Ukrainians are being macerated because of a U.S. policy pushing them into the Russian meat grinder. But yet here's Blinken over there writing them another rubber check for $100 million, maybe a billion, who knows? And the war has no end in sight, even though a negotiated peace would be in the best interests of everyone, including the Ukrainian people. There's no sanity anymore, Mark, anywhere.
Yes, sir. I wrote another article for American Thinker on how the State Department launders money and used Ukraine as an example. That's a few years old.
So let's figure that out together. Let's lit for the audience. When we hear that they're giving Ukraine another of $100 million, for example, I'm picking a number out of the sky. That's not cash given to Zelensky, is it? It's in the form of weapon systems, correct?
Not necessarily. Uh-huh. What happens is that money is transferred not through DOD, through the State Department. And through the embassy, there's an econ person in the embassy who has the authority to move quote foreign aid to different entities within the government or within their country. When I was in Liberia, went to the embassy, met the econ guy. He said, "What do you need?" I said, "I need stuff for the airport." And next thing you know, I got stuff falling out of the sky from a contractor that they had. Mm-hmm. And then one day he says, "Mark, you are such a good steward of the government's money. I'm just going to put money into your account."
Oh my God!
And I said, "Sir, you can't do that. You know, Liberia is very corrupt. We can't have that. I can't have that."
They were trying to bribe you, in other words.
Well, I think it was legitimate. This was still under George Bush, but the potential was that if I took the money and just had it in my account, there was no accountability, and that's what happens. And so what has happened, like in Burisma, let's say Burisma got $1 billion for petroleum exploration or whatever. So the money front would flow through the U.S. embassy to Burisma, and then their board members would say, $10 million will go to, Hunter Biden, $10 million go here, $10 million go there. They'll still wind up with $90 million or $900 million, and that's how it plows back.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Let's go back to the main topic. Your article is how America becomes Zimbabwe. The only question I have from a fighter pilot like yourself, very experienced man who sees around corners, Can this be stopped?
I do believe it can be stopped.
Let me give you, I need to inject something. So last night, I went to a talk by a very deeply, I would say, super orthodox, mystical Jewish rabbi who was talking about reincarnation. But before he started the talk, this is a man who's read stuff from the 11th century, going back forever. And he has this long scope of human history. He also quotes Huxley. He's a worldly religious man, not just a dogmatic, guy who can't see beyond his own religious beliefs. So I talked about the crime wave that's sweeping America with him. And he said, right. Michael, he said, our religion seeks order. We like order in the universe. That's what our religion is about. He said, the world needs order. And he said, it's actually a good thing that things have gotten so crazy in the streets, for example, of New York City, where everyone can see what the insane liberal policies have wrought, releasing, a rapist back on the streets who rapes again, or beats a woman up with her own cane in the streets after he was arrested 8 times. He said the madness is so prevalent right now that literally everyone can see it and see that it's their policies that have caused this. And he said, I believe this is a good thing because he said it's going to turn things around. Now, I don't know if you're as optimistic as he is. I know people who are not as optimistic as he is. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Do you think possibly we've reached the nadir of this insanity?
I hope so. But it's going to require, a change in leadership at the very top.
Well, Kamala Harris is ready to go.
We don't want to get me started on the vice president, sir.
Mark, I remember I used to joke 10 years ago when I was on the radio that when I get on a commercial jet, at that time they were opening the doors to the cockpits, where you could see the pilots. Then they started locking them.
Right, right.
You could look at the pilots. I used to like to see old gray-haired white guys with blue eyes in the cockpit because I knew they generally came from the military. Pardon me, I just didn't want to see a transgender in a wheelchair there, let's say, who was blind. I'm trying to be, absurd. It's like reducto ad absurdum. But I also said, Mark, if this keeps up, this affirmative action, I mean, you can get away with affirmative action in social sciences, ethnic studies, black oppression, transgender studies. But when you get into an airplane, you can't get away with it. You can't fake flying a commercial jet. It's impossible. But we could wind up with a blind pilot telling us you don't see a blind pilot and you're being, visionist or something instead of visionary. Mm-hmm. If you say the person's blind, I'm not getting on the plane, they can arrest you for saying you're not going to fly with a blind pilot. But I don't think we've gotten there yet, have we?
I don't think we've gotten there at that point because the structures that manage flying, where you have safety of flight issues all the time, you're carrying passengers or cargo or whatever, or yourself, hundreds of million dollar aircraft, these folks are not going to allow the transgenders, the freak shows into the cockpit.
The Ringling Brothers crowd.
Yeah. These guys.
No, I see it. Of course, yeah. I understand, yeah. But I've always said that you want a blind pilot to fly an airplane. Their answer would be, sure, we have automated controls today. What does blindness mean anymore? That would be the answer of the American left.
Yeah.
Look, I watch air disasters as a hobby, on TV. I have a pilot friend, and I said to him, he's a commercial pilot. I said, Michael, do you watch Air Disasters? He said, sure, it's one of my favorite shows. I said, you're kidding me. I said, it doesn't freak you out? He said, no. He said, I like to watch it. He said, so I can actually think through problems that happen to others before they happen to me.
Yeah.
I take it you don't watch Air Disasters on TV.
No, I taught aircraft accident investigations when I was an associate professor at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, been through several investigations. I am so busy now with my books. I've been helping a World War II war vet write his about his time in the Navy, the 2 years he was in the Navy. Incredible man. I've just been really, really busy.
Well, no, I'm not challenging you for not watching TV. It's not what I mean. I am joking.
I know.
So let's say there's a young person listening to this podcast, woman, man, doesn't matter.
Right.
Will the best and the brightest still become a pilot in the armed forces?
I have some friends that talk to me all the time, and I wind up talking to their kids. I tell them that pilot training is the greatest training a country can offer a young man or a woman, but you have to be prepared for the task, and that means you have to have good grades in school. You have to have a degree. No drugs. No police interaction. You have to be dedicated, and you really need to be committed to the country.
That eliminates 99.9% of the youth, I think.
Yeah, but the fighter pilot community, for example, the Tom Cruise and Top Gun. There are not many of those guys running around. That is, the fighter pilot community is kind of like the headwaters for the astronaut corps. Somebody wanted to be an astronaut,
I understand you've got to go through that stage first. But let's take the U.S. Air Force Academy. If I'm not mistaken, the new head on the Biden has never even flown an airplane. She's not a pilot.
Yes. Right. Yes, sir.
Is that true?
That's I believe it's true. And it's been that way for a very long time.
How can you put a non-pilot in charge of the Air Force Academy?
Well, the Air Force, I had some Air Force colonels. I was working at an Air Force base. Air Force colonels, they're pulling their hair out the same thing because they had no pilots at the Air Force Academy because it was that assignment was viewed as a non-competitive assignment that the Air Force felt that they needed to keep their pilots in the cockpits so that they could compete one another. An instructor tour was not was not one of those billets, and therefore the unintended consequences were that they would have supply officers and other folks that were teaching these kids their occupations. They wouldn't even bring pilots into the school to
Well, it's like the Naval Academy. Biden appointed a woman who never piloted, captained a warship. She captained cargo ships or something to that effect.
Yeah.
So, okay, we understand when you say Zimbabwe. I mean, I quoted this Rhodesia story over and over again. And my number one story was when Rhodesia was not Zimbabwe, they were exporting food to the world. They had a food excess.
They're very productive.
Yeah. After the locals took over Zimbabwe through a revolution and threw the white people out of leadership, threw the Rhodesians out, called them colonists and whatever, and took over their own country, they became a food importing nation. They were on the beggar's list with begging cups going around the world looking for food. That is exactly what is happening in this country at every level of the federal government. And I understand the tenor of your argument. And I see the same things. My only hope as an optimistic pessimist is that we've hit bottom and people finally see it. And there's finally, because of the crime wave, because of the war, inflation, because of the madness of a president who literally everyone can see is falling all over himself. He's totally incompetent. Yesterday, Mark, he walked out of a Medal of Honor ceremony. I'm sure you saw that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the middle of the ceremony, he thought it was over and he got up and waved to everyone and left. How long can this go on?
until the next election.
The king has no clothing.
It'll be over.
The king has no clothing. It's like McConnell freezes up and he stands there saying nothing. And his aide comes over and says, Mr. Senator, are you finished speaking? And again, he stands there saying nothing, like a puppet. We're ruled. It seems to me the whole country is ruled by an oligarchy of ancient mariners here.
Savage, home of borders, language, culture, the Savage Nation.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Well, Mark, I love your article. I highly recommend the article in American Thinker. What's your latest article? You mentioned it earlier.
Oh, I think that was it.
You said something.
I had an older article.
Well, before you go, you flew the F-4 Phantom while in the Marine Corps. Where did you fly it, by the way?
In Yuma, Arizona.
Yeah, we still flew it. I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I went to. I got the chance to fly F-4s in Yuma, and I did that until I could no longer fly it. And
why?
And then I had some medical issues.
I'm sorry to hear it.
Oh, it's the nature of the beast. Flying a fighter is so challenging, so difficult. I have had some of my graduate students who were instructor pilots in the Air Force break their necks during aircraft combat maneuvering training.
No kidding. And, wow.
Yeah.
It's, oh, my God.
You know,
I've seen fighter pilots as a combination of skills that are hard to imagine. I've said they have to have the dexterity of a ballet dancer, et cetera. I mean, people would think I'm crazy comparing a ballet dancer to a fighter pilot, but we're talking about utter flexibility in motion of every joint in their body. I mean, you can fly a thing upside down and back, you know, upside down in combat. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, I have flown the F-4 supersonically on my very first flight.
Mark,
I thought it was a great airplane.
Here's a great question for you. Ukraine. They're training Ukrainian pilots to fly the F-16. They're trained only in the MiGs. How long realistically would it take a Ukrainian pilot who may be qualified to fly a MiG to fly an F-16, in your estimation?
If they've got simulators and coursework and other stuff, Dr. Savage, I was part of when I was working for Lockheed, we sold F-16s to the Iraqi Air Force. So they had a bunch of guys who flew MiG-25s and so they were put into our flight schools. We had Iraqi F-16s in Tucson where they would fly their own airplanes. And so the conversion thing doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot. It's basically being competent, working what is in the cockpit. Everything is new. You go from a MiG to an American aircraft, and everything is basically in the same spot, but you know, it just takes a while to learn how to use the instruments while you're flying.
But isn't the F-16 considered sort of antiquated? It was introduced in the 1980s, wasn't it?
Maybe even the 70s. I'm not an Air Force guy on that.
The Russians, I would suspect, are going to blow those F-16s out of the sky using satellites before they even get off the ground? Why would they let them even take off when they can decimate them on the runways? I don't understand how people can't see this. Where are they going to take off? If the Russians can spy over Ukraine with satellites, just as we do, and launch satellite-based weaponry, wouldn't they know when the F-16s are about to be launched and kind of take them out on the runway, the way we did in Iraq?
Sir, I would just say that I am not informed enough on the space-based capabilities of offensive weapons.
Neither am I.
It is true.
That's why I can make such a suggestion.
but I do know that there's equipment in the jet. You know, even had it in my F-4. It's called raw gear, radar hazard, aerial warning systems, and you know they have it's like little microwave receivers in the front and in the back of the airplane. Will tell you where a radar hazard is coming from, basically a radar missile, or like a sidewinder, something like that. So the fighter aircraft are equipped with those type of systems. There's countermeasures put on those airplanes, chaff and flares, and so there is a level of protection for all those airplanes. I am just not aware of any. There may be in the secret world, but I am not aware of anything in the open.
Well, I'm a man who believes that Hillary Clinton was 100% right when she said peace is patriotic. And so I would like to conclude our discussion by saying Hillary Clinton was 100% correct when she said peace is patriotic. And I pray for peace, because this thing is escalating into World War III, which is exactly what the Ukrainians want, which is to drag the entire world down with them. It's madness and it has to be stopped. And speaking with you as a fighter pilot on this very inspiring topic, how America becomes Zimbabwe, has been most enlightening. Mark Hewitt, thank you very much for your work. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for the opportunity, Doc Savage. Have a good day.
Savage.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.